Welcome back to Banking on You. I'm Josh Rodriguez. If this is your first time with us, thank you so much for listening. We are thrilled you are here, but you may want to back up an episode and listen to part one of The Grandpa's Girl. This is part two. No worries, we'll wait right here while you catch up on Jenny's story. Here's a quick summary of what's happened so far.
So I got off from work. I was at the store and literally 10 minutes away from the house. I'm going in and he called me back and he's like, he's real calm all the time, very soft-spoken, not like the rest of the family. And he goes, the house is on fire. So my hands are shaking. I'm trying to call somebody. I'm like, just go on the app. And I went on the app and I'm like, my house is on fire. I need somebody to get to the house really fast. Hurry up, really fast. He said he felt like the house was foggy. And he goes, man, what is that crackling noise? And he said he went to, because his room was in the basement. So he said he went to the basement door and opened it, and the flames just burst and blew them out the back door.
Okay, now that you're caught up, let's rejoin Jenny and her family, which includes her brother and her daughter. They're standing outside their home, which had been owned by her beloved grandfather and been in the family for decades. She's about to discover the full extent of the damage caused by the fire. Here's Jenny.
I didn't go in actually until probably about a week later. Even on the other end where the fire wasn't at all, it was so much smoke damage, so much water damage. Like, I walked in and I was heartbroken. I'm like, oh, we don't have anything left. I'm like, there's nothing. I grabbed one picture, a baby picture of me and my daughter off the wall. And then I was able to take it like to a place and get it restored. That was it. But like, my daughter was an athlete in high school, like her Letterman's jacket and all of those different awards and trophies just. So, and I think like that was the most heartbreaking, because my grandmother, like, she loved photos. They're just gone. Like, and I don't know, like, because I remember the photos just because when I was a little girl, I remember going, I would go in my grandmother's room and she had them in bags and boxes, and I could just sit in there for hours and look at these old photos from, like, she even had a camera from way back in the day where you put the thing over and it go, you know, like, she had all of those, like, different type of photos, and I carried all those photos with me all the time, and like to not have those, or you know, like all the baby pictures of even my daughter and everything, like to not have those anymore. I think that made me feel so lost. You know, I'm like, wow, I don't have anything from my past anymore. Everybody's like, you get to get a new house, and I'm like, I don't want a new house. I want a photo of my grandmother.
But the fire didn't take. The resulting water and smoke damage stole away everything. Not just her own possessions, but those that had been passed down from her grandparents. More than once, Jenny told me.
You gotta laugh, otherwise you just keep crying about it.
You know, tears can only carry you so far anyway. And laughter is like a good medicine. There comes a point where the only option you have is to start over and rebuild. In spite of the pain, Jenny starts to put one foot in front of the other.
It's destroyed. They tell us we can't get anything out of there. I didn't know this, but because of the soot and everything, it's very bad for you. So even you can't like just throw it in a wash machine and wash it and think it's okay. So we have nothing. Red Cross shows up. They say they're going to pay for, I think it's like two or three nights at an extended stay. So they did that. We went and stayed at an extended stay in O'Fallon, which we were so grateful for, but they don't really give you any cash. So, yeah, I mean, thank God I had like a little bit of savings, but you go through it when you have like absolutely nothing. I'm just like, what are we gonna do? Like, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I don't even know where to start because I'm on a slew of medicine. My medicine was in the fire. He's on a slew of medicine.
She's talking about her brother.
He definitely needs his. I'm like, we got to get this going. So I did tell the Red Cross, which they like hurried up and, you know, snapped in. I'm like, I think his is more important than mine. I had to like fall asleep, get up and like hit the ground running.
I greatly admire that tenacity. Let's do it. There's nowhere to go but forward. So let's go.
Like, I called my job and I'm like, my house caught on fire last night. And they were like, what? And I'm like, and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, we're fine. Everybody's fine, but I lost everything. And they're like, are you joking with me? Because I'm always telling, I'm always messing. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, I'm so serious. I lost everything. So they're like, okay. So I called my insurance company, put the claim in. They got busy on it. I've never used my insurance before, so I didn't know how this works. I'm like, I got my medicine. That was like the first thing, and he got his medicine. We got that within like 2 days. But it's going on the third day. We're still in our same clothes. I think one of the firemen actually gave my brother some shoes. So I'm like, where'd you get those shoes? He's like, somebody, one of the firemen or somebody gave them to me. So I go to the bank. Oh, yeah, they were like, okay, your money, the insurance claim came through, blah, blah, blah. I go to the bank and they're like, well, we hold this because we get so many false claims from State Farm. I'm like, from State Farm? You get false claims from State Farm.
Yeah, I got to jump in here real quick. You see, the bank was actually West Community Credit Union. She'd been through a lot, so we'll overlook her calling us a bank this time. Anyhow, let me give you a little bit of backstory. Even though consumers are writing fewer checks than ever, an unbelievable amount of fraud still occurs by altering checks, especially insurance checks. Claim checks tend to be for higher dollar amounts, so the bad guys try to pass them off for equally large amounts. A bank or a credit union placing an extended hold on an insurance check is pretty common. When Jenny didn't know that. Regardless, having an extended hold placed on her check when she had some dire needs was more than frustrating.
And I'm like, I said, I gotta step outside for a minute because I'm coming in here and I'm telling you that I just lost everything. And you're telling me that you get a false claim. I said, there's no way that I would come in here and tell you that my house caught on fire and I have nothing. And I'm trying to do a false claim. So I'm going to step outside so that I don't take this out on you. And when I come back in, I want you to tell me that you've worked it out, that I get my money.
With everything going on in her life at this point, she had the presence of mind to step away, take a breath, and gather her emotions.
That's crazy. I'm like, who does that? I said, no, I said, lady, I've been in the same bra and underwear for 3 days. You got to fix this. I'm just going to go stand outside. I need to breathe because this is not your fault. And I try to remember that all the time just because I work in customer service and I get that all the time. And I'm like, I didn't make these rules. So I like when I'm doing something like that, I have to remember the person I'm talking to didn't make these rules. And she helped me the entire time because she was so sweet. And I'm like, okay. So she, like, they settled it. I'm like, thank you. I'm like, thank you. And I left. And I had been, like, just riding around because I'm just trying to get everything together. Just riding around. I seen the number come up on my cell phone, and it was the bank. And I'm like, oh God, Cynthia, it's the bank. What if they tell me I can't actually have the money? She's like, just answer. And it was like, can you come back here, please? We've decided to give you something. And I'm like, okay. I came back and they gave me, it was a $75 gift card. I was like, I just broke down in tears. Like, me and my daughter were like the biggest crybabies throughout the entire process, because you don't realize that there's still good people out there until you have to go through something so traumatic. They're like, it's just $75. But that $75 filled up my gas tank to get me around to finish up doing the rest of my business. And I didn't even realize that my gas light was on because I'm so focused on trying to get everything done. I'm like, they just filled my gas tank up. Like, they think it's not a big deal, but it is. I'm like, I needed gas. I like them. I like all of them that work there. Their customer service is great. They're patient. And even if there is like a rule in place, they explain it. And if it is something that's reasonable, they'll work with you. You guys do a great job. Everybody in the office does. I like them. All these little blessings are coming just from everywhere, from people I never expected it to come from. And throughout the entire process, that's what I learned, that there's still good people in the world.
Yes, I believe there are. And one by one, the blessings started to flow in. Some from the most unexpected places.
It's the small things that truthfully got me through it. And my coworkers, oh my gosh, when I say I have the best village around me, I have the best coworkers ever. And I feel like God was just so present at that time. No matter what I thought I needed or said I needed, He literally plopped it right there in my lap. Like, one night I started crying because I wanted to clip my toenails. And I went and I'm like, I don't even have toenail clippers. I'm like, this is crazy. The next day I went to work and a coworker came up to me with three big bags. One for me, one for my daughter, and one for my brother. It had a house robe, a blanket, toenail clippers, fingernail clippers, toothpaste, deodorant, shampoo. She's like, I just got this. Me and my fiance got this stuff for you and your family, because it's little stuff that you probably didn't even think of that you're going to need. Once again, I start bawling. I'm like, oh my God. But it was just like, they were great. They were just amazing. Like, every time I turned around, my supervisor, she called me in the office and she goes, I don't want you to come to work because you really need this time. She goes, I just need you to come pick something up. And I'm like, okay. So I swung by and I'm like, what is it? And she gave me $300. She goes, I want you to take this. She goes, because us chunky girls, we gotta have the proper bras. And I want you to take this and spend it on nothing but bras. And I'm like, oh my God, you understand? Oh, it was just like so many people that, it was even people that I didn't know knew me that just stepped up. I had one coworker start a GoFundMe for me. And she's like, I started a GoFundMe for you. I'm like, what? I'm like, what is that? I'm like, those things aren't real. She goes, they are real. And you have $1,900 in it. I'm like, what? She goes, yes. I'm like, what? It was amazing. Like, I would say just, it was absolutely amazing.
After a short while, they moved from the hotel to a more permanent townhouse just off the interstate. Life had always been in the country, spread out over a few acres. This year-long adjustment to subdivision living was difficult, but met with kindness from those who went from complete strangers to true neighbors.
It was different for us, for all of us, because my daughter literally has only lived out in the country. Moving to a subdivision that has HOA laws and rules and regulations and don't park in the yard and turn your radio down. So it was different, but then like towards the end when we knew we were getting ready, you know, getting closer to moving in home, we're like, I'm gonna miss the little lady that puts flowers out on our mailbox.
And then it was done. One full year after the fire took Jenny's home, it was finally rebuilt. For her entire life, it was Grandpa's house, filled with the things that stirred up memories of the wonderful mechanic, musician, and United States Naval veteran who told such wonderful stories. Nah, who cares if they were true or not? His home had radiated with his love and the beautiful relationship they enjoyed. The place that held the memories of the best years of her life. Now, not only was he gone, but also gone was the familiarity of her surroundings, replaced by a brand new home.
It felt so weird because I grew up in that home with it looking that way for 50 something years, and to walk in and see it totally different, I felt like I was walking into an Airbnb. like we put everything up and like all three of us were just kind of sitting there like this. Like we were just like, just looking around, not wanting to touch. You know, like we pull the drawer out and be like, and look around like for the longest, like that's how we were. Like we didn't even want to use a stove. Like, oh, should we order something? It felt like my daughter's like, it is our stove. We're going to have to use it eventually. It's different. So like the colors, everything is different. Even the floor plan is different, because that is one thing that I did do. I made the floor plan different. It's more of an open floor concept. And it was a 3-bedroom home, and I made it into a 2-bedroom home with the laundry room upstairs. So everything is different. Like the kitchen is different. The ceilings are higher. So just sitting there, even like sometimes just sitting there watching TV, the living room seems so big now. So it's just kind of like.
But you like it. Right?
I absolutely love it. I do. Yeah. I love it. It's beautiful. It's weird. The property is the same. Still got the big yard, which I do like that. That's where my grandfather was.
He
bought that home. And then that's where I used to always say, Grandpa, I'm looking at my property. It was his home. But he'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, surveying my property. Surveying my property. There's a tree he used to sit up under all the time. And I have a chair that I go and I'll sit under that tree. I was such a grandpa's girl.
You know, at the end of the day, a house is just a bunch of building materials. Wooden beams, rolls of carpet, cabinets, sinks, paint, wallboard. Sure, a craftsman's skill can make it all look so amazing. But it isn't walls and flooring that make a house a home. It isn't nice furniture or grand art. Really isn't design or aesthetic that make a place warm and welcome and feel like home. It's the memories. Those of good food, long laughs, warm hugs, soft kisses, and time seemingly wasted together. It's celebrating during the good times and huddling together during the bad. It's birthdays and graduation parties, remembering and laughing all over again at the silliness of days gone by. Or once again, sharing the melancholy of the struggles of the early years. It's even fights and spats and agreeing to disagree when you just can't see eye to eye. It's saying and hearing the words that really matter. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm glad you're here. Come back soon. That's what makes a house a home. It's living and sharing life with those you love.
Some of my nieces and nephews that, you know, have grown up coming over to the house and everything, like, they've even come in and they're like, oh, wow. Like, this is surreal. Like, I know where I'm at, but I don't feel like I'm in the same place. I'm like, I know. They're like, this is weird. I'm like, I know, but we gotta make new memories.
That's right, Jenny. New memories. Cherish the old. Remember. Don't forget. Tell stories of naval battles and only being allowed to use one square of toilet paper. But it's time to move forward. There's one small part of Jenny's story that I've kept until here at the end. Not everything was lost in the fire.
I found his two guitars. I got his two guitars and this wooden case, like a shoebox, shoe polishing box, and it's so old. Like, on the bottom of it, I think it said 1939. Like, it's old. I got that. That's it.
Her grandpa's guitars. Untouched. Unscathed. An absolute miracle in the middle of devastation.
I have one, like, propped up in a corner. Well, both of them. One is in one corner, and then the other one's in the other corner by the TV, so that I could always look and see them standing there. That was the one thing. And they're actually in the original cases that he bought them in. So, yeah.
Now proudly displayed in a memorial to a great man. Ah, trinkets to some, sure, and significant to others. But they mean the world to Jenny.
Because I was a grandpa's girl.
Thank you so much for listening to the Banking on You podcast. Please follow us on all the socials at Banking on You Pod. For show notes and additional info, visit our website, bankingonyoupodcast.com. And let's not forget about our incredible team. None of this would be possible without you. JD Sutter is our producer and Gandalf of sound design. Graciously enduring all of my speaking errors was our studio engineer, Dave Powell. You're a patient man, Dave. Huge thanks to our marketing and branding team led by Kimberly Burzak. Ashley and Brian, you guys are awesome. The Banking on You podcast theme was composed by none other than Russ Whitelock. Thanks, Russ. Our executive producers are Jason Peach and Corinne Grubel. The Banking on You podcast is powered by West Community and Tigers Community Credit Union, and I'm your host, Josh Rodriguez. Until next time, remember, we're banking on you.